Praise God. Praise God. We welcome everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. God bless you. Just want to send a couple shouts out to those that are watching online. Before we get into the word, we got right now, we got approximately 350 people watching live right now. Praise God for that. Want to send a shout out to Stephanie Bailey from Long Beach. God bless you. Want to send a shout out to Priscilla from Long Beach. God bless you. Want to send a shout out to Jonathan from Utah. Good looking out, watching, engaging this morning. Robert from Wilmington. God bless you guys. A lot of people watching this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I hope you brought your Bible or got your Bible. Amen. I hope you're ready for the word of the Lord. Do me a favor, if you're watching on Facebook, go ahead and hit share on your Facebook so that other people can experience the word of God this morning. God bless Alex, who's watching, Raymond Ramirez, who's watching, Andy Henning. Andy Henning, you've been watching for about 7-8 years now. That's awesome. Sue Garnes, Pastor Sue, God bless you. Thanks for watching this morning. Connected. We've known Pastor Sue for probably like 10 years now when we were all the way back in Scattering Seeds. Remember Pastor Sue? She started off with us here. God bless her and her husband. I hope they're strong and in the Lord. Dan, God bless you for tuning in. Julie, who lives in Paramount, God bless you for tuning in. Destiny, all the way in Lakewood, God bless you for tuning in. Lord bless everybody for watching. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible this morning to the book of Acts. And we're going to get into the word this morning. We're going to get into the word of God. And I'm excited to share with you the word that the Lord has put upon my heart this morning. And I really believe that this word is going to touch you right where you're at. I really believe that God is going to speak to you through his word this morning. So you better be ready because when the word of the Lord pierces our hearts, the power of God touches us, things happen, chains break. And I'm just super grateful to be able to minister in this capacity. I posted on Facebook a couple days ago the first picture of First Easter service in this building from this platform in the late 60s. And it was filled with people on that Easter morning. And today, 30-something years later, we're still preaching the gospel from this platform, and the building may not be filled up, but guess what? We're going to be reaching more people right now than ever before in the history of our church. So we're grateful for that, and we praise God for that. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verses 22. And as you know, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest victory ever. We're talking about the greatest comeback ever, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on Good Friday, while Jesus was on the cross, the devil thought he had him. The devil thought he had him cornered. But we praise God that 3 days later, Jesus broke the grip of Satan and death and hell and sin by his resurrection from the grave. And so we praise the Lord God Almighty this morning. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the resurrection is not about an Easter bunny. I want to remind you that the resurrection is not about colorful eggs, but the resurrection is about the defeat of Satan and the relaunch of the kingdom of God on this earth. And that is the good news that the Bible talks about, that Jesus has defeated the realm of darkness and has relaunched the kingdom of God on this earth. And in the kingdom of God is all you need for life and godliness. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Come on, somebody. When I say he is risen, you say he is risen indeed. He is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore because Jesus broke Satan's grip. Now, I want to teach you something this morning from Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 24. This is the first sermon of the church. And Apostle Peter stands up in front of many, many people, and he gives this powerful sermon that eventually brought thousands of people into the kingdom of God. And in this sermon, he gives revelation into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this sermon, he gives revelation into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in our study this morning, we are going to learn two things that the resurrection reveals. We're going to learn what the resurrection reveals. We're going to have a big reveal party this morning because we're going to learn what the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals. And we're going to be studying a portion of Peter's sermon this morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. If you're able, I want to invite us to stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. If you're able, let us stand to our feet. I hope you got this already in your Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 20 feet. Come on, let's stand to our feet right where you're at, in your living room or in your kitchen. Maybe you're in your bedroom. Come on, stand to your feet right now. We're gonna honor God's word as we read it. Come on, stand to your feet. I'll give you another moment to stand to your feet as you turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 22. What does the resurrection reveal? What does the resurrection reveal? We're going to have a reveal party this morning. Listen to the word of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. This is what the Lord is telling us this morning. Pay attention. Listen to this. Pay attention. I love that when God tells us that. Pay attention. Jesus said it like this. He said, "He who has ears, let him hear." All throughout history, God has showed up and he would say, pay attention to me. I'm about to say something that's going to transform your life. I'm about to say something that is going to help you out. So pay attention. Now is not the time to be distracted. Now is not the time to look to the left or look to the right. Pay attention to the word of God. Peter stands up and he says, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. I love that about our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came on the scene, he came on the scene with power. He came on the scene with miracles. He came on the scene with wonders. He came on the scene with signs. And guess what? I got news for you this morning. The miracles and wonders of Jesus Christ are still alive today. The wonders of God are still alive today. And if you don't believe me, just look in the mirror, because you are a wonder of God. You are a miracle of God this morning. Some of y'all know you shouldn't be breathing this morning, but by the miracle of God, you're still alive. So he says that this man accredited by God to you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Next verse, listen to what it says. This man, speaking of Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan. Note that word, note that phrase, underline that. By God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God, I love that. But God, I could preach that all day. But God, someone say, but God. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. He raised him from the dead. You killed him, but God raised him from the dead. You harmed him, but God raised him from the dead. You backstabbed him, but God raised him from the dead. That's what Peter was telling that audience at that time. You did this, but God raised him from the dead. That's our testimony too. The devil tried to kill us, but God raised us up. The devil tried to harm us, but God healed us. He said, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Because it was impossible. Someone say impossible. Come on, say impossible. Eric, say impossible. Come on, Eric, over there, living in the city of Carson, say impossible. Little Raymond in Downey, say impossible. Come on, say impossible. Nathaniel, say impossible. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Let us pray. Come on, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We open up your word to learn, to eat. Strengthen us this morning. Feed us wisdom and knowledge and fresh hope. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to bring out to us this morning two things that the resurrection reveals. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveal to us? When we look at how Jesus rose from the grave, what does it teach us? What does it shine the light on? What does it help us to understand that we didn't understand before? What does it help us to see that we did not see before? Listen, I told you we're about to have a reveal party this morning, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals some revelation to us. Let me give you two reflections that are rooted in this passage of scripture that we just read. What does the resurrection reveal? Number one, someone say number one, God's hidden plan. God's hidden plan. Y'all going to have to follow me around, because I'm going to have to walk around a little bit. God's hidden plan. God's hidden plan. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveal? God's hidden plan. Plan. Now follow along with me. I'm going to teach you something. We today have the advantage of being able to look back in the scripture and see the entire plan of redemption already unfolded through the revelation of scripture. Someone once said that hindsight is 20/20. So listen. We, today, in 2020, have the advantage of being able to look back in time and see the entire plan of redemption that God put into motion through the prophets, through the sacrificial system, and ultimately through Jesus Christ's life itself. We have that advantage today. But, listen, if you were living in the days of Jesus, if you were alongside Jesus in the first century, you could not see the plan of God manifested. What am I talking about? Well, if you were looking at Jesus on the cross, if you were there living and you saw Jesus on the cross at that time, you, along with many other people, would wonder, where is God in this situation? In fact, that's some of the questions that they asked back there. What they would look at Jesus and they'd say, where is God? Where is his power? Why is God allowing this to happen to Jesus? Listen, Jesus was doing miracles. He did good. He helped out people. But now look at him on the cross. He's dying like a thief. Where is his God? If you were there at that time, looking at Jesus, you could not see the plan of God visibly and clearly being up close to what was happening at that time. In fact, I would suggest to you today that even today, when we enter into seasons of suffering, when we enter into seasons of hardship, even today, people turn and look up to heaven and they ask those same questions. God, where are you at in the midst of this? God, what's going on with you in the midst of this? Why did you let this happen? I would suggest to you today that there's probably millions of people in the world that even under this COVID kind of season, that they're looking up to heaven and saying, God, why did you allow this to happen? Where are you at in all this? Where are you at in all these deaths? Where are you at in all this suffering? We ask the same questions today. The good news is, my brothers and sisters, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals that God had a plan all along. It reveals that God had a plan all along. That's what verse 23 highlights. Look at verse 23. That's what it highlights. Listen to this. Jesus was handed over to you by God's, get this, deliberate plan. By his deliberate plan, it shows us, my brothers and sisters, the resurrection, that God had a plan all along. They may not have seen it when they were in it, but when Jesus rose from the grave, they looked back and they said, oh my goodness, I should have known that God always has a plan. God always has a plan. In fact, my brothers and sisters, when you study the disciples, the early disciples, as they were following along Jesus, you will discover that oftentimes they did not understand what Jesus was doing at that moment. Oftentimes, they did not understand what Jesus was doing at that moment. For example, John chapter 12, verse 16, look at what it says. Listen to what it says. John chapter 12, verse 16. It says, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But then Jesus was glorified. Then they remembered that these things were written about him. So notice, when things were going down, when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, the disciples didn't understand what was going on. The disciples didn't understand that God had a master plan on this. They didn't really understand it until after Jesus was glorified. What does that mean? That points to after the resurrection. Several times in the life of the early disciples, they did not understand what God was immediately doing. I'm going to give you another example in John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus turned around and look at what he said to his disciples. He says, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Notice what he says. What I'm doing, you will not understand now, but you will understand after this. What is the after this? What is the after this? He's pointing to his resurrection. In other words, again, I'm pounding the pavement with this. I need you to get this, that oftentimes when we're in the middle of our situation, it appears that God may not be involved. But if you're a born-again believer, you could have assurance that God always has a plan. Someone say that. God always has a plan. Come on. Somebody say that. God always has a plan. Come on. Come on. God always has a plan. We have an advantage. Born again believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an advantage. Now, you may not understand the plan while you're going through it, but you can trust that it's there. You may not understand it while you're going through it, but you can trust that it's there. You may not be able to see it while you're going through your hardship, but you can trust that it's there. All that matters, beloved, is that God knows he has a plan. That's all that matters that we need to hold on to, that God knows he has a plan. In fact, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. When the children of Israel were going through hell and high water, and they were plundered, and they were in prison, and people were dying, and they got driven off to a far-off land, look at what God tells them in Jeremiah 29, 11. He says, for I know, get this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Look at what God says. Look at the revelation of God. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Beloved, I want to reassure you, you may not know the plan while you're in it, but you can best believe that God knows the plan. And if he knows, then it's okay with my soul. If he knows, then it is okay with my life, because I trust him with all my heart. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? Picking up what I'm putting down. Now, let me say this on that same subject. You don't have to understand the plan to trust in the plan. You don't have to understand the plan to trust in the plan. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to understand the plan to trust in the plan. Listen, I don't understand how my cell phone works. I don't understand how this cell phone works, but I trusted to call my wife when I need to call my wife. I don't doubt it. I dial the number real fast. Call my wife. I don't understand how it works. I don't understand how my truck works. I don't know the detail. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know the details of how my truck works, but I trust that it to get to me to my destination when I'm in it. You don't have to understand God's plan to trust in it. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know why he says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? It's because our own human understanding only goes so far. It only goes so far. Only God can go all the way. So listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals God's hidden plan. It teaches us that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, we can rest assured that God always has a plan. Someone praise the Lord for that. Come on, someone praise the Lord for that. The second thing I want to bring to our attention, what does the resurrection of Jesus reveal? The second main reflection is that it reveals our great champion. It reveals our great champion. Verse 24 says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold. Circle that word if you have your Bible. Circle that word. It's impossible for death to keep its hold. Its hold. Its hold on him. Look at the resurrection. It reveals our great champion. When Jesus rose from the grave, it demonstrated that it was impossible for death to keep. Look at its hold, its hold, its hold. Circle that word in your Bible. Its hold on him. Now that word hold, it means grip. That word hold, it means grip. It means strong grip. That's what that whole word hold means. It means strong grip. Listen, I got good news for the world this morning. I got good news for everyone this morning. Jesus broke the grip of Satan. When he rose from the grave, he broke the grip of Satan. Now, the image that this scripture gives when it says it was impossible for death to hold him, the image is of a strong, wild animal in a cage looking to devour someone, and someone stronger runs into the cage and devours that animal. That's the image that this verse gives us. It's of a wild animal trying to eat somebody, but a stronger person runs into the cage and rips that animal apart. That's what Jesus did to Satan when he rose from the grave. And the resurrection reveals our great champion. Reveals our great champion. This is what Jesus did to Satan through his resurrection. And the scripture testifies about our champion over and over again. I need y'all to see this. I'm about to read some scriptures, and I'm doing it on purpose because some of y'all got the wrong image of Jesus in your mind. All you're seeing is the Jesus on the cross. That's all you're seeing. And if that's all you see, then it's affecting your response to God. You need to be able to see the Jesus that rose from the grave. You need to be able to see our great champion, our champion that broke the grip of Satan. So follow along with me. With these verses, because the scripture testifies about this over and over again. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, look at what it says. It says, Jesus disarmed. I love that word. Circle that word in your Bible. Jesus disarmed. I don't know what he did. Just my sanctified imaginations want to think that Jesus did some judo on the devil. He did something to disarm the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them. Look at this. Publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Look at that, my brothers and sisters. The devil thought he had Jesus on the cross, and he thought he was making a public display of Jesus on the cross. No. It was nothing in compared to what Jesus did to Satan when he rose from the grave. He put him on public display and shamed him in front of all the powers of the world. That's our great champion right there. That's not the Jesus on the cross. That's the Jesus who rose from the grave. And the Bible attests of this over and over again. I need you to get this. I need to burn this in your spirit, because some of y'all are going to come alive with this. Some of y'all are going to rise up with this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, listen to what it says about our champion. It says, Jesus shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held. Look at that, held. That speaks of the grip again, who were held in slavery by their fear of death. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what he does through his resurrection. He breaks the power. He breaks the power of Satan, and he frees us from the grip of darkness. That means you don't have to live in defeat no more. That means you don't have to live in addiction no more. That means you don't have to be afraid of death anymore. That means you don't have to be afraid of brokenness and the unknown anymore, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Beloved, this week in the United States of America, we've seen record numbers of people dying over the COVID virus. Sad week in America. Hundreds of people dying. We faced death this week as a nation. And it's a sad scenario, but I want to let you know, and I want to remind you, those that were in Christ Jesus, those that were covered by the blood of the Lamb, death did not defeat them. Death did not conquer them. All that death did was transport them to the complete presence of the Lord God Almighty, because our Savior conquered death when he rose from the grave. We don't have to be held back anymore. The Bible attests of this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason why the Son of God appeared. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus rise from the grave? You know why? The Bible says it right here. In part, it was because to destroy the works of the devil. The Father was tired of the devil taking advantage of us, tired of us being broken and hurt and crying, and so he sends his only begotten Son to destroy the devil's work. I love that. And guess what? Just as a sidebar, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we take on that same mission. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we ought to, by faith and by believing and by prayer, we ought to be destroying the devil's work in our life. The devil's work shouldn't be beating us down. We ought to be destroying the devil's work in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's our great champion, and the resurrection reveals that he is our great champion. Over and over again. I'm not done. I'm not done. I need to pump this into your spirit because some of y'all have been overwhelmed by fear and anxiety, and you're about to rise up this morning. Revelations 1:18 is the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Listen to what he says, beloved. Listen to what he says. This is our great champion. This is not the Jesus. You know, this is not while Jesus is hanging on the cross. This is after the resurrection. Listen to what it says. Revelations 1:18. Jesus in his own words. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. Look at his testimony. Isn't that like the testimony of the saints? I was dead, but now I'm alive. How do you think we got there? We got there because Jesus went there first. Revelations 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive. Get this word right here. Circle this in your Bible. Forevermore. Get that word. I am alive forevermore. I'm alive forevermore. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is never, ever, ever going to take a beating again. He's never going to take a beating again. In fact, the beating that he took on the cross was a one-shot deal. It was a one-shot deal. He took the rap for us. He went into the back for us. He did that voluntarily. In fact, before Jesus even got to the cross, he said, don't you know I can call down legions of heaven and wipe this whole world out if I want to, but I'm voluntarily going to take a beating on behalf of mankind so that in 3 days I can rise again and break the grip of Satan. That's what he says. He says, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Wow, what a testimony. Look at what he says. I have the keys. Someone say keys. You know what keys represent? Keys represent authority. Keys represent power. And prior to the resurrection, the devil had the keys of hell. The devil had the keys of death. But through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus snatched them keys from his hand. How do you think Jesus got the keys? How do you think he got the keys from Satan? You think he played spades against Satan and got the keys? You think he played basketball with Satan and got the keys? You think he played ping pong against Satan? No. You know what he did? He broke his back through the resurrection. He broke his grip by rising from the grave. That is our champion. That's our champion. And the resurrection reveals that in fact, I want to let you know that the Jesus in Revelations 1:18, I want to remind you that actually the Jesus, the next Jesus you see, according to Revelations 19, is going to have fire in his eyes. The next Jesus you see, according to Revelations 19, is going to have the whole army of God behind him, the whole army of heavens behind him. The next Jesus you see is not going to be the Jesus on the cross. The next Jesus you see, according to Revelations 19, is going to have fire in his eyes and the armies of heaven behind him, and whoever does not bow their knee to him will. That's the Jesus that we know. That's the champion of heaven. That is the captain of our salvation, as Hebrews talks about. That's the champion of our salvation. Jesus broke the grip of Satan. Do you remember feeling the grip of Satan on your life before, you know, you started following Jesus? Do you remember feeling the grip of Satan? I clearly remember in my life feeling the grip of Satan holding me back and holding me down. As a little kid, you know, I was a typical little kid like everybody else. My parents did as much as they can do for me. They loved me. My family loved me. In fact, I want to show you a picture of me as a little kid. Look how I looked as a little kid. Innocent, right? Nice. Look at my haircut right there. My parents did all they can do to love me, to help me, to direct me. I wasn't, you know, I always like to share, when I share my testimony across the nation, I always like to say, I was not an evil little kid. Don't get it twisted. I was a kid who was loved. I was a kid whose parents tried to help. I was a kid whose family tried to help. But then I made the mistake of dabbling in sin. I made the mistake of trying to test out sin, trying to test out how it's going to be. And when I made that mistake of dabbling into sin, that's when the grip of Satan began to come upon my life. And next thing I know, I was doing things that I really didn't want to do. Next thing I know, I was going to places that I didn't want to go. Next thing I know, I was saying things that I really didn't want to say. Have you ever gone anywhere that you really didn't want to go? Have you ever done anything that you really didn't want to do? Listen, some of you are addicted right now to methamphetamine, and you know in your heart that you really don't want to get high no more. You know in your heart you really don't want to smoke no more, but there is a grip. There is a grip of Satan over your life, and you need to realize it, that you cannot beat that grip in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own ingenuity. I felt it myself. I didn't want to jump into the sin. Just wanted to get my feet wet. And then I ended up slipping in and drowning. Didn't want to get drunk. I just wanted to sip a little bit. Didn't really want to get high. Just wanted to, you know, just smoke a little bit. And then that grip got stronger and stronger. By the time I was 12 or years old, I joined the neighborhood gang. I'm going to show you a picture where my life kind of went on this downward spiral. And again, I'm here to testify, I didn't start off like that. Nobody starts off like that. Very few people start off like that. I started off fairly good, but that grip of Satan I allowed to overtake me, and I begin to do things that I really didn't want to do. And eventually, many of you know, at the age of 16 years old, regretfully, I was arrested for a gang-related shooting. And regretfully, I was arrested, and I was booked for one murder and one attempted murder. And in the Compton, California courthouse, I was sentenced to life in prison. I want to show you one of my prison IDs. This is me at the age of 18 years old, and I was crushed by hopelessness. I was crushed. That grip of Satan was around my neck, and I couldn't shake it. I couldn't beat it. I couldn't get it off of me. Even when I was in prison, even when I first got locked up, I wanted to change. I wanted to do something different, but I couldn't, because that grip was around my neck. It was around my neck, pushing me, telling me what to do, shoving me to here, shoving me that way. Some of y'all don't want to admit that, but that's how it is, shoving me. And I remember I got sentenced to life in prison in the Compton, California courthouse. I remember after I got sentenced to life, they put me in the holding tank, and I was all by myself in this holding tank, and I had the nerve to blame God. I had the nerve to look up to God and say, God, why'd you do this to me? Why'd you allow this to me? Why'd you allow this to happen? I had the nerve to blame God. And years later, I felt this in my spirit, God looking down at me, Brian, what are you talking about? I didn't do this to you. You chose this lifestyle. I tried to warn you. I tried to help you. I sent people into your life to pray for you. I sent people into your life to direct you. Even your own homeboy tried to help you out, but you would not listen to me. And I felt God telling me that. And I remember they took me to the LA County Jail, and some of y'all are new, you don't know my testimony, but I was in this one-man cell in the LA County Jail. I was in a red jumpsuit. I was 17 years old, been sentenced to life in prison, and that grip of Satan was around my neck, and it was pushing my head down, and I couldn't even lift up my head, and it was pushing my head down, looking down, and all of a sudden, I heard a noise in the hallway, and with all my strength, I get up, and I go to the bars of the cell, And it was an elderly man passing out Christian literature. And this elderly man, he had the courage enough to share with me about the power of Jesus Christ in the darkest moment of my life. And I didn't want to talk to this guy. I was mad at the world. But this old man didn't budge. He did something so quiet yet so powerful. He had the audacity. He had the nerve. He had the guts to reach through the darkness of those bars. And he grabbed my frail hands. And he said a prayer over me in the name of Jesus. He prayed for me in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, right there in the LA County Jail, 3,300. I was a juvenile in the juvenile section, 3,300, red jumpsuit, bald head, skinnier than I am now, broken, confused with that grip of Satan around my neck. But the name of Jesus pierced through my darkness. It pierced through my darkness. Thank God for followers of Jesus Christ who are not afraid of the darkness. Thank God for men and women who have the courage enough to bombard the gates of hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For if it had not been for the church of the living God, I would still be dead in that grip of Satan. That old man, he prayed for me. And a couple days later, in the LA County Jail, I got down on my knees. And I cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I cried out to that mighty name. And I didn't know it at that time, but the Bible says whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And I called out to Jesus. Jesus, help me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my God. I don't want to live for darkness no more. I don't want to be broken no more. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. I want to do your work in this world. And at that moment, the mercy of God, the grace of God overwhelmed me. And the Lord God Almighty saved me. And he delivered me. And then he messed around and filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And God began to teach me his word. And the scriptures that I shared with you today were some of the first scriptures that God began to teach me was about the power of God, the power of the gospel. And the more I learned about our great champion and how he rose from the grave and he conquered Satan, the more that grip of Satan began to break off of me. The grip of Satan began to fall off of me, and I became alive like never before. I began to follow after God, and I began to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And I stand before you here today, approximately 26 years later, and I look back at all my suffering. I look back at all the moments of suffering. And now I can say, I was saying it by faith then, but I can say it in reality today. God always had a plan. God's hand was always there, leading me, guiding me, warning me. By the grace of God today, I'm living out my dreams. By the grace of God today, I'm doing all that God has called me to do. By the grace of God today, the Lord has blessed me with a beautiful family. I want to kind of share with you a picture of what the Lord, part of what the Lord has blessed me with. And it all started with Jesus breaking the grip of Satan off of my neck. That's where it starts off. Jesus breaking the grip of Satan. Off of my neck. So listen, my brothers and sisters. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you feel that grip. I mean, some of y'all feel it physically. There's a tension on your neck. And we want to let you know the resurrected Savior will break that today. He will break it. He will break it. He will break it. If he broke it for a 17-year-old rebellious boy in the LA County Jail, he could break it for you. The same God that broke it for me can break it for you. The same God that broke it for countless other Christians in every generation is the same God that can break it to you. God is about to break the chains in your life right now. He's about to break the chains right now. If you bow to him, if you surrender to him, he's about to break the grip of Satan off your life. you're here, if you're listening to me this morning and you need, and you know you need to surrender to Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. I want to invite everybody who's listening to bow our heads. Everybody just bow our heads right where you're at. Just bow your heads. I want us to reflect upon the word of the Lord this morning. What was God trying to get across to you? Maybe you need to surrender to Jesus. Maybe you got to allow Jesus to break the grip. In a moment, I'm going to call you to respond by faith, and I'm going to pray for you. In fact, I'm going to call my wife up here, too, to pray with me. But let's bow our heads. Just think about what the Lord was trying to tell you. Think about what the Lord was trying to get across to you. Hallelujah. If you need to surrender to Jesus, come up here, Lord, come up here. If you need to surrender to Jesus, I want you, by an act of faith, lift up your hand. Point it to that monitor, point it to that phone. Just lift up your hand if you need to surrender to Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender. Jesus is going to break the grip, Satan, over your life. Then I'm going to ask my wife to just pray, pray for everyone else who's struggling right now. There's different types of grips. The grip of fear, grip of anxiety, grip of hopelessness. My wife is going to pray over everyone else. Break the grip. Someone say it right there. Break the grip. Break the grip. If you need to surrender to Jesus, lift up your hands right now to the monitor, bow your head in your heart, and say this prayer with me. Lord God, I am sorry. Lord God, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. But today, I turn back to you. Today, I turn from my sins. I surrender to Jesus as my Savior. I surrender to Jesus as my King. And I surrender to Jesus as my champion. Come into my heart. Break the grip of Satan over me. Break the grip of Satan over me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Listen, if you surrender to Jesus right now, I want you to know that your new life starts today. If you surrender to Jesus right now, I want you to know that the angels are rejoicing in heaven over this today. I want to congratulate you. I want to praise God for you. If you surrender to Jesus, I want you to type your name. Let us know that you surrendered. If you're watching this on Facebook, let us know if you surrender so we can get in contact with you to help you take the next step. But listen, praise God. The grip of Satan is broken over your life. Praise the Lord. Now, for all those who else are listening, maybe some of you are being weighed down by the grip of fear or the grip of anxiety. I'm going to ask my wife to kind of look into that monitor. And not only do I want her to pray, but I want her to declare and to decree that the grip of Satan be broken over you and the grip of Satan be broken over your life, over your daughter, over your son, that the grip of Satan, some of y'all marriages, for whatever reason, doesn't even matter why, but some of y'all marriages right now are in the grip of Satan. We're going to declare and decree that it be broken, that grip. I'm going to ask my wife to lead us in this prayer declaration. Just stay right where you're at and receive this. Receive this if you can pray.
Holy Spirit, we thank you that the same power in which you resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave is the same power that is available to us today. And we come before you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we ask that you break every chain,
yes,
that has bound your people, that has kept,
yes,
them in bondage, the bondage of fear, the,
yes,
bondage of anxiety, the bondage of lust, the bondage of pride, the bondage of selfish ambition, the bondage of shame. We ask, Holy Spirit, for your fire to fall from heaven and consume every impurity, everything that has kept them away and at bay. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to breathe new life upon them. Open their eyes to see beyond the surface. Help them, Lord God, to put their eyes back on you. Help them to know that you are able and willing to deliver them and to set them free once and for all. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would breathe new life into them, oh God, that you would deliver them, Lord God, that you would help them and put their feet back on the right path. We ask, Holy Spirit, great comforter, to come and to comfort your people today, to hold them and to remind them that you have the power and authority to come against everything that has attacked them up until this point. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are available for each and every one of us to, by faith, ask you to do a new work in our life. The yes. things that we thought were impossible to let go of, you are saying today it is possible. With God, all things are possible. And you are able to unlock the key that has kept them shackled and chained up until this point. You are able, Holy Spirit, to come and to unlock and yes. to set free. And we thank you that today we can receive the freedom that you brought. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, and amen. Amen. Listen, listen. I just want to share something with you guys listening today. Right now, God has given someone the grace to be set free. He's given you the grace to be set free. And the warning is, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back to whatever that was. Don't go back. Right now, you got to start to change your habits. Right now, you got to start to change your habits. Right now, you got to get connected to people that are free. Listen, freedom is contagious. Get connected to some people that are free. So here's a warning for someone right here. Don't go back. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe it was the grip of lust that God broke the grip of lust off of you this morning. Don't go back. Don't go back. Change your habits. Change your habits. Maybe it was the grip of addiction, right? Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back to that girl. You know that girl is going to get you high again. Don't go back to that guy. You know that guy's going to get you high again. Don't go back. You need to surround yourself with freedom fighters. Ooh, that's a word right there. You need to surround yourself with freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. You cannot maintain your freedom by yourself. You need to be vigilant. You need to be vigilant and change your behavior. Change your patterns. Change your patterns. It's a warning for someone right there. But it's also a blessing because God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise right where you're at. Let's praise God right where you're at. Praise God for his word. You can stay with me. Praise God for his word. At this time, praise God. The Lord has spoken to us. The resurrection reveals that Jesus is our great champion. The resurrection reveals that God always has a plan.